When the Smithsonian opens its National Museum of African American History and Culture in 2015, part of its collection will be oral histories of the Civil Rights Movement. In addition to doing an inventory of hundreds of existing oral history collections around the country, the Smithsonian set out to conduct new interviews with those who participated in the movement. For that task, they turned to the Southern Oral History Program at UNC Chapel Hill. Seth Koch coordinated the initiative, and he'll be joining me each Friday this month to share some of the stories they gathered. Seth, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about the material you've gathered.
Well, we conducted 50 interviews over the course of about a year all over the nation, from Oakland to New York City. And we really wanted to dig up untold stories from people whose names might not appear in history textbooks. That was the mandate of the Civil Rights History Project Act, which, when it was passed by Congress in 2009, directed the Library of Congress and the Smithsonian Institution to seek out untold stories. And that's our mission as well at the Southern Oral History Program, and I think the mission largely of the field of oral history in general. And we wanted to hear not just about the accomplishments of these activists, but really about how the experience of participating in the civil rights movement affected them. But we should really let Dr. William Anderson sum it up for us. Dr. Anderson was a leader in the movement in Albany, Georgia in the early 1960s, and he went on to practice medicine in Michigan while, of course, staying active in civil rights.
It's one thing to read about it. It's another thing to actually talk to the people who lived it. It's sort of like the parallel I draw by Jesus Christ, who came down off the cross, and there was doubt in Thomas. Put your finger in the wound where the spear was. Come and talk to the people that went to jail, the people whose houses were bombed, the people who were put out of job. Come and see them. These were real people.
So as William Anderson says, you talk to the people who lived it. Who are we going to hear from today?
Well, today I'd like to introduce you to Miss Jamila Jones and a story she told us about a night in April of 1960 when she was 16 years old.
We were having a movie, I believe, that night, Songfest, and they came.
Jamila Jones got active in the movement as a 9-year-old in Montgomery, Alabama, actually sitting on Rosa Parks' living room floor drinking Kool-Aid and eating cookies and learning about social justice. She had formed a singing group with some friends, and they sang freedom songs in Montgomery, and they did such a good job of it that before long you couldn't hold a civil rights meeting there without inviting them to sing. And so eventually their minister brought them to Highlander Folk School in Mont Eagle, Tennessee, and this was a place where for decades and still activists gather to form a community, to learn from one another, and to network. And Highlander, as you might imagine, wasn't particularly popular with local law enforcement in Mont Eagle. And when Jamila and others were there in 1960, the police raided the school, saying that they were running an illegal beer brewing operation, and they actually cut off power, so the school fell into complete darkness.
We could not see each other. We didn't know where. I didn't know where my sister was. I didn't know where Minnie was. We were just there, wherever we were at the time when the lights went out. You know, that's where we sat. And so all these policemen came in, and all we could see basically is the billet club waving, and the butts of their guns, you could see it shining on that holster. And they told us to sit, you know, of course, stay seated, be quiet, or what have you. And something said, "We are not afraid." And everybody starts saying, "We are not." And you could hear people come in. My sister, who is not a singer, I knew she was safe because I heard her little out-of-tune voice coming in. And I could hear Menace bass come in about "We are not afraid."
I should jump in here to note that lyric, anyone who's heard the song "We Shall Overcome" will be familiar with "We Are Not Afraid," but at that time in April of 1960, that lyric was not a part of the song, and so she's too modest in the interview to take credit for it, but Miss Jones is widely credited for adding that line to "We Shall Overcome," and it spread from Highlander Folk School to the movement around the South.
And we got louder and louder with singing that verse until one of the policemen came and he said to me, if you have to sing, and he was actually shaking, do you have to sing so loud? And I could not believe it. Here these people had all the guns, the billy clubs, the power, we thought. And he was asking me with a shake if I would not sing so loud. And it was that time that I really understood the power of our music.
Seth, what drew you to this particular story? It's powerful stuff.
It is powerful stuff. To me, this really is the civil rights movement in a nutshell. We have a gathering of people with a spiritual purpose, but also a strategic mission. We have backlash from segregationists. We have what I heard so much of in these 50 interviews, the discovery of one's own power and of the collective power of the community. And crucially, I think, we have Ms. Jones's youth. She was just a kid. She was 16. And so many of these activists were just kids. And there was something about being a young person that carried with it the moral authority that allowed someone like Ms. Jones to stand up to and face down a white police officer in Monteagle, Tennessee in 1960.
Seth Koch is coordinator of Oral History Digital Initiatives at the Southern Oral History Program at UNC Chapel Hill. He's bringing us oral histories of the civil rights movement all this month. Thanks, Seth.
Thank you.
These oral histories are being added to the holdings at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress, which will make them available online this fall. In the meantime, you can learn more about the Smithsonian's Civil Rights History Project and hear all the oral histories we broadcast on WUNC at our website, wunc.org.